And the thing was, you know, he probably would have gotten manslaughter. A lot of people say she did it and she closed the door and she was so drunk. And that's quite possible. But he on his deathbed, told his friend Chester Morris that he killed Thelma. Perhaps he thought he did because he locked her out of the house, or he locked her into the garage. We don't know. No?
Yes, and then Chester kept that secret. And I think he told it on his deathbed.
Oh, boy.
finally.
Pass
that,
it down,
that
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her boyfriend was at fault. You know, but seven or eight people, you know, testified that they saw her the next day. It was right around Christmas time.
Yeah, they said she had tons of gifts. She loved Christmas. Yeah. Like,
yeah, she
what
had
was
her,
it?
Her car was full of gifts she planned to give out, and there were all kinds of parties for the holiday season, and she was supposed to go to a friend's party that afternoon, and that friend swears she called and said, "I'm coming, can I bring a friend?" And you know, and then another woman said, "I saw her making that call in a phone booth on the corner of Laurel Avenue and Sunset Boulevard."
Well, wasn't, you know, one of them his ex-wife? Said she saw her in a car with a guy.
With a dark stranger, implying that it was Luciano.
Yes.
You know, so yes, you know, oh yes, she and a Christmas tree lot salesman said she and the dark stranger came in and bought a tree and had it silvered, and then they never came back for it.
Well, one was a wife of a celebrity. I can't remember which one it was. And she said that she came to the party, and she was wearing the same clothes she was wearing the night before.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was.
None of that happened.
Of course not. What are they just wanted to make themselves part of the story. For
yes, you know.
You know,
15 minutes of fame was happening even then.
Yeah. Yeah, so I
believe
that.
And I think, you know, and several, you know, the Christmas tree lot salesman probably, you know, got slipped $50 to tell his story.
Right.
What harm did it do?
Nothing.
You know? The boyfriend wasn't going to kill anybody else. He
no.
was not some mad, psychotic killer.
Right.
He just
was a spiteful,
really poor
jealous guy that night. And, you know, lock her out. I would be livid. That's my house. I paid for it. Get lost, buddy. You know, I would be livid. And they said, well, she's thoughtful and she didn't want to wake him up. Come on. Oh,
yeah,
my.
No, she was thoughtful.
Of course she was thoughtful, but she was also drunk and this guy locked her out. I'd be furious.
He had a drinking problem. You know, she had at least one DUI.
Yes.
She had one accident, you know, at least.
And they had
you know, they were always on her about her weight.
Yes.
And pills were also involved, you know.
She was tiny, right? Like most of them were in those days. She was a little lady, like 5'2 or something like that.
And she, you know, I mean, and hey, alcohol is fattening.
You ain't kidding.
You know?
Yeah.
She had a lot of it, so
she had
a tendency to put on weight as she was approaching her 30s. And, you know, so she wasn't a happy camper to begin with, and then she had this hideous boyfriend. So, she was soon to be out of there. She would, and I think he sensed that was coming, and that just fueled his jealousy and rage.
And then, boom, that's what happened to poor Thelma. None of this convoluted, horrible. Lonnie Anderson, catch it on YouTube, you guys. I watch so many of these cheesy movies, the 70s cheesy movies of the week, and these kind of things on YouTube. And boy, oh boy, this was cheeseroni. And I'm sorry, Lonnie Anderson, I know you're still living, but you're not a good actress. I hate to say it. I don't know. Let's talk another scandal here. Another one was Carol Landis. Now, I know the family believes Sexy Rexy, and I don't know why he ever got that name, killed Carol. I don't believe that's true.
No.
Do you believe she wanted to kill herself, though?
No. No, but here's, you know, that was one of the stories that I got new information on that made me want to do Dishing Hollywood. Mm-hmm. First of all, one of my favorite lines about Carol Landis, I believe Esther Williams said that Carol was so stacked, she didn't know how she stood up straight without falling over. You know, so Carol...
Esther,
you know,
really wrote a book, like, I have to say. Did you read Esther's
book?
She
was built like at 15.
Yeah.
So, you know, Hollywood was the place she wanted to be. And a lot of people implied that Carol slept her way to into the movies.
Yes.
And she was also at 20th. And when it was under the command of Daryl Zanuck, who was famous for asking for a blonde every day at 4 o'clock in his office. I guess he was the Roger Ailes of his day.
Yes.
You know, and when you were a struggling blonde amongst many blondes there, God, Betty Grable, Marilyn, you know, later...
Lana, all of them.
You know, so you went to Daryl Zanuck's office is what you did. So poor Carol, I think, what did she have, 7 husbands by the time she was 27?
Yes, and I don't think she lived with one of them. Her last one was Horace Schmidlap. I have to say that name. I'm sorry, everybody who listens to the podcast.
That is my favorite. I mean, how could you even think being married to someone named Horace Schmidlap would work?
I know. It makes me laugh because it's like a name you see in some comedy movie, and he's like some goofball, and he's like, okay, Horace Schmidlap next. Yeah, but she never seemed to live with anyone longer than a couple of weeks. Carol was in love with love, and I just don't think she could have lived with somebody. She just didn't seem, you know, after all those marriages, it just...
And, you know, in on her behalf, I will say that, you know, she went to entertain the troops, mm-hmm. and she did contract a disease there.
Yes, that she worked hard. There's no doubt.
Yeah, 4 Jills in a Jeep.
Yes.
She was one of the Jills.
With
you
Kate
know,
Francis she, and Martha Ray, and I forgot the other lady.
So she was, you know, she absolutely had some very positive things.
Yes, she did.
That she did. And she wasn't a terrible actress, and she was very attractive.
Incredibly, so, incredibly. I just
so
watched.
She's doing a play
yes.
with Sexy Rexy, who was a married man, and...
Lily Palmer was his wife? At the
Lily,
time. Lily somebody.
I'll have to grab my book.
Well,
but she,
yeah.
you know, she fell in love with him, and Hollywood was pretty much done with her. And, she, you know, the divorce from Horace Schmidlap was written on the wall already. And she thought that Rex Harrison would leave his wife and take her to London, where she could really start over again. I really think that was her dream. So she has Rex Harrison over for dinner.
That's July 4th after she had a party.
And the recipe for their dinner is following her chapter in Dishing Hollywood.
Yes, it is.
And he breaks it to her that dream is never going to come true, and he's never going to leave his wife. Well, now this is what I think happened. She became hysterical, and he slipped her a Mickey. This is before Seconal had a bitter taste.
Yeah, because that was my whole thing. I didn't understand when they said he put the drugs, because if he put drugs, you would taste it. But then I read what you're just saying, that it didn't have some taste to it.
Yes, it was her death and the death of Lupe Velez from Seconal that caused that drug to be changed. And it was given a bitter taste. It was used infamously in lots of places, you know, in speakeasies and the mob. And, you know, if you wanted to knock somebody out, you crushed up a little secondol and you dropped it in their drink.
So it's like a roofie, like a, you know, they're roofieing somebody.
So, you know, from the scene of her death, it was clear to police that she had laid down on the bed for a while because the spread, you know, gave that away. And so this is what I think happened. He slipped her a Mickey because she was losing it. And he carried her to, she passed out. He carries her to her bedroom, which was filled with naked photos of him.
Really?
Yes, she had them hanging all over the wall.
No way.
And he while she's out of it, he takes everything in the house that suggests he was part of her life. Takes all the pictures, he looks through her personal belongings, takes any letters, any gifts he had given her, and he packs them all up in a little suitcase and he leaves. He goes to a friend's house who has quite a large property, and he leaves that suitcase at the end of that person's property. And she wakes up and finds everything of Rex gone from her house. And she takes more pills. She had an envelope, not even a prescription, but she had a few pills in an envelope in her bathroom. You know, clearly people pass these things around. They still do.
Yeah.
You know, you want to lose weight? These work great for me. You know, so somebody gave her several Secanol.
I think it was 40 Secanols, they said.
Three, is that what you said?
40.
40?
Yeah.
Not in her body, though.
No, I don't know. But I read that. And also I had her biographer on, but this was a while ago, so I can't remember exactly.
What's interesting is that she and Lupe Velez were found in the exact same position, which was their hand was on the floor with her elbow up, as if she was trying to push herself up off the floor.
Yeah, that's so sad because, you know, that picture, I remember seeing that as a kid. My dad, I think, at Hollywood Babylon, and I just was like, she's in this cute little pinafore dress, and she's there, and she's dead. They took the picture of her, you know, and...
You know, so she, you know, she changed her mind. You know, that's what I think.
I think
both
so too.
Women changed. And she tried to get up, and it was too late.
She did try to call her friend in New York, and her friend wasn't home. Carol did. And I believe that she did not intend to. But what about the note to her mom?
That could have all been written prior to the pills taking effect, you know, when she was thinking, I need to end it all. You know, I read this book, oh gosh, probably 40 years ago on suicide. And they talked about this particular bridge in Europe that was famous for people jumping from. And they said that the people who owed money sank like a rock, but the people who were killing themselves over love, their hands were always lacerated from trying to cling to the
trying to get back up, trying to sing.
And I think that's, you know, I think that happens, you know, where you're so overwhelmed with emotion.
Of course, like you jump out a window, and how can you stop yourself? you know, or you jump off a bridge. And they say survivors, people have survived jumping off the, I saw a documentary on the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes, and people have said,
that you saw it. And a survivor said, you know, I'm so grateful I survived. I'm going down and I'm thinking, what did I just do?
Yes. So, you know, she takes the pills. Mm-hmm. She writes her note to her mother, which, you know, gets out some of your emotion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she begins, and maybe the pills start to calm her down a little bit. And she thinks, what the hell am I doing over this bastard, you know, who would treat me this way? And then, you know, but it's too late. The pills are taking effect. She's trying to get up and get help, and she doesn't make it.
I think that makes the most sense, because it just, you know, oh, that it just, she breaks my heart a lot when I read that story. And she's a very complicated. She was a very complicated woman. I want to hit us one more scandal, but I'd love to talk to you again, Lori. I hope you come on again because you're so fabulous.
Great. Thank you. And I love talking about this stuff, as you
Good.
Can hear.
I know. And I love hearing it. So I hope you come on again. But the last scandal in your book that I want to talk about is the one when I saw you the other day, the Natalie Wood one.
Ah, yeah. That one really breaks my heart, too.
Me, too.
I mean, you know, because we grew up with Natalie and
Miracle on 34th Street, Jesus.
When she was so young.
Yes.
And so you think she was much older than she was, but she was just 42 years old, which is far, far too young for anyone to die.
Yes.
And, well, what do you think happened, Grace?
I believe that they got bombed. She was doing, what was it? Brainstorm, is that the name of the film she was doing with Christopher Walken?
Yes.
So she invited Christopher Walken to spend Thanksgiving with them on their boat. Is it the Splendor? Is that the name of the boat?
Yes.
Yeah. So they went out that day and got bombed. I can't even believe all they drank. They were drinking bourbon. They were drinking wine. They were drinking champagne. And everybody said, you know, they were slurring their words. They kind of drunkenly staggered out. And they went back to the boat. And I believe there was a fight. I don't know what it was from, whether, you know, he was jealous of Christopher Walken, whether, I don't know what it was, but there was a fight and they were incredibly drunk. Incredibly. I have been very drunk in my day. And you do stupid, stupid things that make no sense when you are very drunk, and especially in an argument. I believe that she hated the water. She had that fear, but I believe she was like, I got to get out of here. I can't take this anymore. She went down in there and she ended up drowning. I don't know, you know, that Dennis came out, that guy, the captain.
Right, he changed his story so many times.
Oh, I don't trust him at all. He also changed his story, and he wrote the story after he had gotten canned by Robert Wagner.
Well, you know, here's my thought about Dennis Davern. He saw a lot. He worked for them for many years, mm-hmm. and he saw a lot of things.
Right.
He saw, you know, he saw a lot of sexual shenanigans, I'm sure, and a lot of pill popping and boozing, and as you said, the crazy things that happen when people get that drunk. So he did say, according to Dennis, the argument that took place, Christopher Walken, who has never spoken about the evening, ever.
Never publicly, I guess, only to the police.
Ever.
Yeah.
He and R.J. Wagner and Natalie were in the main cabin drunk, and Walken was apparently encouraging her to pursue more work. This film Brainstorm was the first movie she'd done in quite some time. She had taken time off to have a child. She and RJ had been married before when they were much younger. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out. They each went off and married other people and had children with other people. And then they found their way back to one another and had their own child. And she took time off to raise her child. So this was the first film she had done in years. And Walken was encouraging her to do more work. And Robert Wagner's career, you know, he had left film and had moved on to television, had a very successful show on TV.
Heart to Heart.
But she was still a movie star. And there was still a stigma with television. You know, when you couldn't do films anymore, you were relegated to TV, and that's where he was. And she was still a big, fat movie star. And so there was jealousy there, and there was jealousy where there was a lot of flirting with Christopher Walken, I'm sure. And I'm sure it was returned. And so, you know, once again, you have jealousy, you have booze, you have a big fight where he where RJ supposedly told Walken, you know, to mind his own business. And at that point, Walken is supposed to have removed himself.
Went to escape
from the room. Right. He wasn't feeling so great anyway. The water was very rough that night. There was hardly there was only one other boat out there near Catalina because it was a dark and stormy weekend. And so Walken retired to his room and the fight continued. And I agree with you. I think she said, I'm out of here. And she missed the dinghy. I don't think she was ever in the dinghy. You know, she was trying to supposedly put herself in the dinghy, you know, and there were all kinds of rumors like, oh, the dinghy was slapping against the side of the boat and she was just trying to move it to the other side of the boat. Well, that's the kind of stuff you call the captain for. That's what you're paying them the big bucks. You know, so why would she do that? Well, why? Maybe because she was blotto drunk and thought she could do it herself?
Yes, she had that drunken bravado.
Because here she is in her nightgown.
And with a heavy
woolen sock.
Yes, and that heavy down jacket.
Puffy jackets. Mm-hmm. Could she have gone to shore dressed that way? Yeah, she knew the people on Catalina Island very well since they went there often. Could she have stayed in the walked into the hotel there? Yes, she could have that way. It was a tiny community. But was that her intention? You know, the thing that bothers me is that eventually RJ goes to their cabin and she's not there. And he waited hours before he called anybody. And that to me makes me very uncomfortable. You know, no matter how drunk you are, if your wife is nowhere on that damn boat,
yes,
you got to call somebody.
Yes,
you get sober real fast. And you call somebody, and that never happened. That never happened. And so that to me really points a finger at him. To me, that says he knew she wasn't on the boat, and he was just delaying things, hoping what, that she would miraculously reappear somehow. And then there is the one other boat that was anchored near them, And they heard a woman calling for help for at least half an hour. I think they said 40 minutes. And they heard a male voice respond to the woman in distress saying pretty much, keep your pants on, we'll get to you.
Really?
When we, you know, so that could have only been two people.
Right.
You know, it could have only been RJ or Dennis. You know, Walken was already passed out in his cabin, so there's no reason for Dennis to say anything like that.
No, he was the employee.
And there was only one woman that was overboard that weekend. You know, so it was clearly Natalie calling for help, and clearly her damn husband who didn't do anything about it.
So what do you think about that? Would you call that negligent homicide? Would you call that manslaughter? Would you call it what?
Well, the question is, how the hell did she get in the water? And nobody seems to know the answer to that. If it is that she was trying to climb into the dinghy and or move it, either way, she fell overboard.
But it was untethered. Who untethered
right.
it?
Yes. It was found floating
right.
near her.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was drunk, she was suffering from hypothermia, it never occurred to her to take the jacket off. The jacket was so weighted down with water that she couldn't lift herself into the dinghy. And if she had taken the jacket off, she might have stood a chance of doing that. But that didn't happen because she wasn't, you know, all of these things are easy to say in hindsight, but when you're the one drowning.
Right.
And it's your worst nightmare. Your worst nightmare.
No, things that she's actually, you know, you see her on tape saying it, how she has this fear of water and
dark water. It was
right.
her worst nightmare. So, you know, I just can't imagine the panic and then the hypothermia, you know, because you'd expect someone to be splashing around screaming, you know, save me, help me, I'm drowning. And the people who heard her said it was more of a drone as her energy was being sapped away, you know, how it was more of a help. As she was, you know, dying. The woman was dying. And it's just a horrible, horrible story. And she could have easily been saved, and she was not saved. So, you know, there is no question that I hold him responsible. And Lana Wood, Natalie's sister, feels that RJ is directly responsible.
Well, if he knew she was gone and missing and heard her scream, then that's just
this, that she did get
pitiful.
The cause of death changed on Natalie's death certificate from accidental to, you know, unknown, cause unknown.
And they reopened the case.
Yeah, but nothing happens. And that probably
nothing ever
will.
How old is Robert Wagner now? Like 85 or 86?
He's up there.
Yeah. So it just makes me sad. You know, they're supposed to have a fun weekend, and this poor woman drowns in her worst nightmare, the way that she dies. So, you know, I don't know. It just all makes me sad. Do you believe he should have been arrested? I don't think he wanted her dead.
I don't think so either. And I think it's, you know, he has to live with that.
Yes.
You know, I think it got easier to live with as the decades went by. You know, I think he was haunted by it for quite some time, and he doesn't seem to be so haunted by it now. And he, you know, Lana is the aunt to their daughter, and Natalie's daughter,
Natasha,
by, you know, Gregson, mm-hmm. her brother husband, and RJ just cut Lana out of the family, 1, 2, 3, you know, like Natalie and Lana's mother suffered from Alzheimer's, and Lana, whom I adore, you know, was not nearly as successful as Natalie and did not have the funds that Natalie would have had to help Lana care for their mother. RJ did not step in at all.
That's horrible.
Has never helped her and painted her as the crazy aunt so that the kids won't have anything to do with her. And he, you know, tried to denigrate her and her reputation so that nobody would pay attention to the things that she said.
Smoke and mirror kind of deal.
Yes. Well, oh, it reminds me of someone in the White House. If you can't prove what they say, just make them look bad. Fake news.
Yeah. It's like hypnotism, like Lana Turner's last husband. You know, it's sort of like whatever we hear, you know, if you hear it enough, you hear it enough. Some people just kind of believe everything. I know a lot of people believe that he meant to kill her. I do not believe that. But I do agree he was very negligent. And I do believe that she left on her own, by her own will, because she's like, I'm out of here. I can't take this anymore. I'm getting out of here. And it certainly does not make her accountable for her own death. It's very sad. It's just such a sad story to me. So let's get more. Talk about Lassie and his merkin again. That was a good story.
Well, I will tell you one scoop on Natalie and her husband during the time of their first marriage, because there were many rumors also that what RJ was so jealous of was Christopher Walken. He wanted a little piece of that pie.
Yeah.
That was, mm-hmm. was, you know, that was one of the rumors.
Or
one
that,
of the rumors
Natalie
was that she
walked in on them having sex.
Yes, that she walked in on them. Mm-hmm. So I used to write for a magazine, I guess in the 80s. And it had been a teen magazine that had grown into a more of a Hollywood magazine in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But in the 60s, it was a teen magazine, and they covered Natalie Wood, of course, because she was so popular and barely out of her teens herself. So he assigns this writer to interview Natalie at her home. And the writer is a man who is over the moon. I mean, every man who ever looked at Natalie Wood fell madly in love with her.
How could you not? Those big brown eyes. She was gorgeous. She really was so beautiful.
It really. I mean, and I talked to people. My husband made a movie with her. And he said, I mean, men, they just were falling over themselves for her everywhere she went. And so this writer goes to the house, and he is interviewing her in their living room, and Robert Wagner is sitting in on the interview, and Natalie excuses herself halfway through to go to the bathroom, and Robert Wagner looks at the writer and says, "You really love my wife, don't you?" And the guy is so embarrassed. Oh, God, does it show? Oh, yes, I have a major, major crush on your wife. She's magnificent. And RJ looks at him and says, "Well, you can have her if I can have you."
Oh, my God.
And so the three of them hopped into bed together.
Wow.
And the writer went back to my editor, my future editor, and said, "I got the best story there I can never print."
Wow. That is huge scoop, Lori. I heard that about Robert, that he, you know, he kind of went both ways.
Well, he was definitely a very pretty man.
Oh, he was gorgeous. He was incredibly pretty.
And the casting couch worked both ways.
Yes, it did.
And that was another reason Lana told me that he cut Lana out of his life, was because she knew all those secrets too, and he was terrified she was going to tell. But I'm not terrified of him, so I'm telling.
I love it. That is so, what a juicy scoop. Thanks. But I wonder why Natalie would go along with it. You know, she's so young too, but...
Yeah. You're young, you're in love. Also, you can have anything you want, and pretty soon you're bored with those things.
That's the whole thing, right.
What's the next thing we can do that, you know?
I agree. Anything and everything is at your fingertips. And you're big deal. People are asking me my autograph. That's thrilling in the beginning. And I hear you, because I believe that too. It's sort of like, why not, you know? Yes.
You can buy anything, you can move anywhere, you know, and so you're, you know, and then when you're so young, you're looking for the next thrill or the next taboo thing to do.
And they did it. That's so funny.
And they did it.
You
know, and
cute?
Your husband's into it, and you're being adored by two men at the same time, and, you know, hey.
I don't know. That's never happened to me, but yeah. Oh boy, that's
yeah. Nor I, but but my husband does have a T-shirt that says "I slept with Lassie."
And like I said, Lassie's gender fluid. Lassie's just whatever he wants to be. A she, a he. We love you. A they or them. We love you, Lassie. And I love you, Lori. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I have had such a great time talking to you. Please, 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 please come on again.
And it would be my pleasure. Honestly, it's so much more fun when you talk to somebody who knows the stuff.
I know.
And you know your
yeah,
stuff.
I do. I know, and I love the stuff. And boy, you got a lot of stuff you could tell me. Talk about
it. I got stuff, girl.
I know you do. I can't wait to hear it. Anyway, this has been Lori Jacobson, and I want you guys to check her out. Go to LoriJacobson.com. See what she's been up to. She makes appearances. And check out what we were talking about was dishing Hollywood and its scoops and menus. Also, she and her husband wrote the book Timmy is in the Well. I love that. I'm going to get that tonight. I'm going to read it tomorrow. And also the book Hollywood Heartbreak and A Hollywood Haunted. So this woman is amazeballs, and I can tell you're going to see her everywhere. Just check her out. And she's made documentaries. Check out Lori. She's fabulous. And thank you so much, Lori. This was so much fun for me.
Thank you, Grace. I loved it. It was really a blast.
Good. And
we'll do it again.
Must, okay? After the holidays.
Okay.
And also, congrats on becoming a grandma. Good luck to the daughter. I hope it's a very exciting thing. So,
thank you. It is. Any day now.
Yay. Let me know. And thank you so much, Lori. And thank you, guys. And I will be talking to you soon. And Lori, I hope I'm talking to you soon. You were fabulous. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
The club with his pants falling down, or the dance that's a dream of romance, or the scene where the villain is mean. That's entertainment. The lights on the lady in tights, or the bride with the guy on the side, or the ball where she gives him her all. That's entertainment. It might be a fight like you see on the screen, a swain getting slain for the love of a queen. some great Shakespearean scene where a ghost and a prince meet and everyone ends in mincemeat. The gag may be waving the flag that began with the Mr. Cohan hip hooray. The American way, the world is a stage, the stage is a world of entertainment.